Good morning. It's nice to be here, I think.
Nice to have you.
Well, thank you very much. The last time I spoke about praise and worship. And praise and worship doesn't start at 10:30. It starts before we come to church. It starts before we leave the house. We should be in a mindset of praise and worship before we even come to church. This morning I want to look, the last worship song we sang there was Jesus is Holy. I want to look at holiness this morning, and I want to look at God's holiness and holiness within the church. If you could turn with me, if you have Bibles, to Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It says this: there was also a man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, but he claimed it was the full amount. His wife had agreed to this deception. Then Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell, as you wished, and after selling it, the money was yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young men wrapped him in a sheet and took him outside and buried him. And about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened before. Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for your land?" "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." And Peter said, "How could the two of you even think of doing a thing like this, conspiring together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Just outside that door are the young men who buried your husband, and they will carry you out too." Instantly she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. God's fear gripped the entire church and all others who heard what had happened. You could turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Moses and the burning bush. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed because this bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. "Amazing," Moses says to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over to see this." When the Lord saw that it had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am, here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," God told him. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he hid his face in his hands because he was afraid to look at God. At that point, I believe Moses saw the holiness of God and the awesomeness of God. When we come into our church, or any church on a Sunday morning, like Moses, we are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. This is where God dwells. And on the mountain, that's where God dwells, in the mountain. And as we come into our fellowship, our church, we too are standing on holy ground. When we come through the doors, our attitude should be one of holiness. We are coming before the most holy of holies. We are standing before a holy God. And God says to Moses, "Moses, if you don't mind, would you mind taking off your sandals? Because this is like kind of holy ground you're standing on." No. God says, "Moses, take your sandals off, for you are standing on holy ground." And as such, Moses realized that he was standing with the Holy of Holies. He was standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. I'm not saying we should all come in shoeless into the fellowship, but I believe we should have an attitude of holiness and respect. We should have an air of reverence for the living God. What is reverence? Almost reverence is like an old-fashioned word nowadays. Some young kids will revere a football player. They love him, they respect him, they want to be him. We should revere our God. Reverence. And that's what God was asking for from Moses when he stood on that mountain. And he's asking that of us this morning. I demand your reverence. And Moses then took his sandals off. He became reverent towards a loving God and a holy God. What does reverence mean? Reverence means, the definition of reverence is profound respect and love. What does profound mean? It means intense greatness. We should love God profoundly with respect and love. And when we have a reverent attitude before God, we honour him. We express our gratitude to him. And we obey his commandments. We should be reverent in our behaviour as well as our attitude towards God. Here Moses was standing on holy ground, taking off his sandals. Today it's still a sign of respect when you go into someone's home. People say, do you want me to take my shoes off? In Japan, it's very popular. You don't wear shoes. You leave them at the door. We need to show God reverence for who he is, because he is holy. And he asks us to be reverent towards him. It's not a plaything. God is serious here, as we'll find out with Ananias and Sapphira. This is a serious thing. It's not something you just think, well, I'm going along to church today and, well, I'll take it as it comes. We need to be reverent in our attitude and our behaviour. And when we come into church, God is asking us, as we stand in God's presence, that we are standing on holy ground. To show God reverence, profound respect and love, we as a church should show gratitude to him. And we as a church should obey his commandments. We should be reverent in our behaviour as well as our attitude, as I've just said. So what does that mean in our attitude and our behaviour? When we come into God's house, we need to be reverent. As we're coming into God's presence, he is here. He is dwelling with us. He is here this morning with us as we sit and hear the word. We come before God, praising God, praying to God, hearing God's word, and our behaviours and attitudes has to be reverent, respectful, with humility and holiness. Holiness. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? Is it to hear the worship band? Is it to meet friends? Is it to have a coffee and have a laugh? There are many reasons why people come to church. Coming to church should be the highlight of our week. Nothing should compare with what we do during the week to when we come to church on a Sunday morning. We are coming into the presence of the loving God, the Holy of Holies, and we should come with a mindset of holiness. We are holy as God is holy. Sometimes you can hear people when they come to church, they kind of complain about, I didn't get anything out of that service. I didn't get anything. It wasn't for me, that service this morning. Perhaps we've said it ourselves. Perhaps we said it ourselves. The question is, what are we meant to get out of church? What are we meant to get out of church? What about Ananias and Sapphira? What did they expect to get from that church that day? Congratulations. A pat on the back that they were giving money to the church. Church is a serious business. And we need to be serious about coming to church. I believe Ananias and Sapphira forgot that they were serving the holy God. I don't understand sometimes how they could forget that, because they obviously knew that God was all-seeing and all-knowing. And yet they still set out to deceive God, to steal from God, to steal the money back that they said they were going to give. We can't forget that we serve a holy God. We can't fool God and we can't steal from God. We must be holy before God. In other words, don't say one thing and do another. We need to be honest before God also. Ananias and Sapphira failed to do that. They failed to be honest with God. How are we honest with God this morning? How are we honest? Are we stealing from God? Are we stealing from God in our prayer time? No, I'm no bother. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that next week. The reading of our word? No, I'm no bother. I'll do that next week. Do we forget that we serve a holy God? Ananias and Sapphira paid the price for that. But I can imagine that the congregation that they were in didn't make the same mistake. And neither should we. Some people don't get what they want from church. Because they've come to church expecting something. They've come expecting, what can this church do for me? Sometimes we need to lower our expectations of church. Don't ask, what can my church do for me? What about me in this church? Where do I stand in this church? What can this church do for me? Ask not what the church can do for you, but ask what you can do for the church. What gifts and talents has God given you that you can use within the fellowship in the church? Ananias made the mistake of stealing from God. And as I said, they paid the price, which is quite sad. But it's a lesson we have to learn from that couple, not to go down that road. God was angry, obviously, with Ananias and Sapphira. We don't want God's anger. Sunday morning comes along, we get up, we get ready. Or maybe some of us do. Maybe some of us say, I'm going to have a lie in this morning. I'm not bothered. I'll just choose to sleep in. Someone once said that the great task of the church is not only to get sinners into heaven, but to get the saints out of their bed on a Sunday morning. I think that's quite true. Or we can choose to go to the shops or McDonald's on a Sunday morning instead of coming to church. We can make McDonald's our church or Kentucky Fried Chicken. But I can remember the days, and I'm sure some people here can, that the shops were closed on a Sunday. The buses ran every 4 hours. The Sabbath was respected. The Sabbath was holy. You could see people coming out of their houses and walking along to church in their Sunday best with their hats and so forth. But churches were packed 30 years ago. And it's sad to see churches the way they are now. Church was respected 30, 40 years ago. Churches would be busy. And nowadays, I'm afraid it's changed. Some churches are getting smaller and smaller. Some churches are shutting down. There are now pubs and restaurants. Some churches in Scotland have only roughly about 5 or 6 of a congregation. Because there is no growth in these churches. There are no new people coming through the church door. And unfortunately, the church has to close its doors. And it's sad to watch. We need growth for our church. We need to be out winning souls for Jesus and extending the kingdom and growing our church. That is why we are here. That is why God has placed every single one of us here in this church, to extend the kingdom of lost souls, to grow the church. How are we doing with that? Maybe we need to look at that again at some point. As I say, it's sad to watch churches closing down. I regret, I'm kind of digressing a bit, But the choice that we should make, obviously, is to attend church on a Sunday morning. There was an architect in the 16th century who built a church, but he didn't provide any light for this church. There was no windows. But what he did do was put a respectable on everybody's seat so that they could bring along a lantern. This church was called the Church of Many Lanterns. And they would go in and they would place their lamp on the bracket provided, and it would light up. When one person didn't go to church, that seat was in darkness. You know where I'm going. When many people didn't turn up for church, the church was in darkness. Our attendance in church is vital. It's important for the church. You know, we're missing a few people this morning. Frank and Lily and my sister and who else? And somebody else. Nan and Brenda. We miss them when they're not at church. That light is not shining. That seat is in darkness. We need each other together for our church. Our attending church is a great encouragement to one another. It was the regular presence of everybody who was at church that lit up that church. We need to bring our lamps to this church so that we can all be with each other and promote Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says this: "Think of ways we are to encourage one another, and let us not neglect our meeting together, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawn near." Jesus describes the church as his bride. The church is so important to God, and so it must be for us. As I said, ask not what the church can do for me, but what can I do for the church? Let us be holy in our approach to God. What does holy mean? How can I be holy? What does holy mean? Holiness and holy means we are set apart. Holy and holiness is mentioned 900 times throughout the Old and New Testament. 900 times. It's important to God for his people to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you to be his children is holy. For he himself said, 'You must be holy as I am holy.' As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you to be holy, you also be holy in your conduct." We have to be separate from the world, and we have to be holy in our attitude and our behaviour. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 20, God said to his people, "Be holy as I am holy." As I said, what is holy and holiness? Holiness is simply separation. Not separation from the world, but separation from the way the world acts. We can't be like the world. We can't act like people in the world. We have been saved. We are born again. The minute we are born again, God's Holy Spirit's in our hearts and in our lives, and he's preparing us for us to be holy towards him. We need to live a holy life separate from the world. And that way our light will shine and our holiness will be prominent in our lives. We should be deliberate in being distinct from those who do not know Christ. We should be deliberate. We should have the attitude. We need to be serious about this. It's not a game serving God, as Ananias and Sapphira found out. We belong to God and we serve a holy God. Romans 12, chapter 2 says this: "And so, dear Christians, friends, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask?" Is it too much to ask? To set aside our lives to be holy, and our attitude and our behaviour be holy towards God. Let's not copy the behaviour and customs of the world, because as I said, we have been set apart. Let God transform us into a new people by changing the way we think. Is this too much to ask? If it is too much to ask, I'll leave that question open. God wants and needs us to be holy unto him. We need to leave our old ways behind. We need to leave our old ways of the world behind us. Ephesians chapter 4, 22-24 says this: throw off your evil nature and your former ways of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitude. You must display a new nature, because you are a new person created in God's likeness and righteousness. We need to set ourselves apart from the world. Stuart mentioned, I think it was last week, the week before, about where do we go to meet unsaved people? Stuart mentioned perhaps going to food banks or other places where people meet. We should be there, as Stuart said. We should be there telling them about the love of God, what Jesus did on that cross for each and every one of us. Let us become a holy people. God has called us to be holy, separate from the world. Be holy in our behaviours and our attitudes before God. Don't conform to what the world has, because we have something much better. Let's not con God. Let's not wear the mask of hypocrisy like Ananias and Sapphira. They wore a mask of hypocrisy. They were in a church and possibly loved by the people who was attending that church. But they tried to deceive God because they wanted money for themselves to do whatever they wanted to do. Let's not wear a mask of hypocrisy. Let's not wear a mask on a Sunday morning and then go back into the world during the week with our language, with our attitudes, with whatsoever. Let us remind ourselves daily that we are a holy people, a royal priesthood. That's how important God sees us. And God demands that we are holy in our ways that we live our life. Let us attend church on a regular basis. Let's become a holy people before a holy God. Let's attend the praise and prayer night, cell groups, church. And let's present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. A holy, living sacrifice to God. Because that's what God is expecting of us. Nothing more and nothing less. He wants us to be a royal priesthood. Let's get serious with God. Let's not forget that he is holy, that he is the holy of holies, and we are his people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, this morning that you reminded us, Lord, of being holy, as you are holy, Lord, set apart from the world and all the things the world does. We are a royal priesthood, Lord, and Lord, you demand us to be holy. Lord, you demand, Lord, that our actions change. You demand, Lord, that we are not in this world, but we are off this world. But our lives have been changed by the living God, by the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. We have become a new person, a new people. We have become the royal priesthood. We thank you, Lord, for that this morning. So, Lord, as we go our separate ways this morning, Lord, may you remind us of how holy you are, and how demanding you are of our actions. We have been set aside. We are a different people. Help us to honour you, Lord, with our holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.